Thank you for joining us, and welcome to another edition of Answers Network. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza. Our goal is to bring on special guests that can inspire, educate, and in some cases, entertain, while bringing answers and options to making our lives happier, healthier, and more successful. And I can tell you, our guest today fits that definition to a T. With her new book, Behind the Button, Journey in Life and Fashion, and How They Are Interwoven, our guest, Jill Strickland Brown, brings us a story of resilience and tenacity that will inspire you to reach your goals and bring, reach your goals, but discover new ones that you might not even know you had, and learn that we're all woven together and that we're all really connected. Jill is an entrepreneur and author who made her way in the fashion industry for more than 30 years, including working as a seven-figure sales rep and owning successful luxury boutiques. She organizes events to connect with and empower women. She's a featured contributor in the book Success Reimagined, Inspiring Stories of Local Leaders. Jill shares her can-do message of inspiration and empowerment through her contagious charisma that I have seen in her videos, and it jumps off the pages of her book. Jill, welcome to Answers Network.
Thank you so much. I'm so honored to be here. Thank you.
Well, it is my pleasure. And as I said, you're a perfect fit. When I started this show, my goal was that we were going to shine a light on the many positive things that are going on out there. And it's exactly what you write in your book, and it's exactly what you speak. So when Jan told me that we were going to have you, Jill, on the show, I was excited.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I'm so excited to be able to share my message with your listeners. It's my message has really resonated with a lot of people, and I'm blessed. So thank you.
You're very welcome. So let's start with you, so that people know a little bit about you. How did you design the best life for yourself? And then share with us, how do the rest of us design the best lives for ourselves, both inside and out?
I think for me, it was a journey. It didn't happen right away, but truly just believing in myself, which, you know, all of us are a work in progress for sure. And then really what brought me to come into my own was really when I went through tragedies and challenges like everyone has, I started allowing myself to be vulnerable. And when I did that, I started sharing stories with other people in my boutique and that kind of thing. And they share their stories as well. And like you said, we connected, and my byline to the book is, you know, stories that thread us together. And that's what it is. When you realize you're not alone, it kind of gives you the confidence to go out and do great things and impact the world. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I envisioned, when I was reading part of the book, that some of the ideas you got are sort of like the kind of relationship that one has, or that women have when they are at the beauty parlor, you know, of sharing information and stuff. I've had many friends that have talked about, one of the reasons why they liked to go to the beauty parlor was the interaction, the closeness that they felt talking with the people. And when I was reading your book, I thought, you know, I think she set up that kind of feeling in her boutiques, that everybody felt this comfortable to share.
Yeah, I agree. Well, women are a community, you know, women lift women, empowered women, empower women. So I wanted to create a space where women felt safe. And beyond that environment, I also wanted to educate them, teach them about, you know, accepting themselves, and educate them about drape and fit and accepting their unique body shape. And not, women are very critical of themselves. And I wanted to teach them to see the beautiful woman that I see in the mirror, so that you know, and then also standing in that fitting room, you're pretty vulnerable, you know, you're unclothed, you know, you are, it's you and, you know, it's you in the fitting room. So, you know, it was really important to keep that trust with those women. And when they're vulnerable, honor that and take care of them and educate them. And I think I teach women about the power of clothing, giving them the confidence so they don't have to worry about that. And they can go out and be better mothers, better in their community, you know, better work people, you know, just all of that. Yeah. Go out in the world and just do it.
Now there have been some that have said, and especially going back, 20, 30 years, that the fashion industry as a whole, and especially once things started getting advertised on television, sort of created almost a sense of you're not good enough. Share a little bit about that and how we've now kind of moved away from that, or have we?
That's tricky. That's a tricky question. I have to say many women still do that. A lot of them, it's their youth or it's their marriage or they have people in their life that just don't support them. And I would say, again, that's part of the education. You know, when they come out and they look in that mirror, I've been standing there for 20 years and there is no woman I've ever met that comes out and is like, I am amazing. I look fantastic. And every part of me is fabulous. There's always my face, my neck, my arms, my, you know, my belly, my butt. And I just say, okay, you know, let's dress the body you are today. And I'm going to pull silhouettes for you that will emphasize your good parts and, you know, kind of mask, I call it smoke and mirrors, and mask the parts you don't want to see. So it is a confidence level. And then I have some really cool ladies that have lived it and have had their challenges and they don't sweat the small stuff. And I feel that way too. I've had a lot of challenges and you know what, when you face all that, you don't sweat the small stuff. You know, if I don't, you know, if I have wrinkles on my face, I feel like they're a badge of honor of, you know, if I have wrinkles on my eyes, that's from smiling. You know, if I have stretch marks, that's I've born children. So they're badges of honor.
Yeah. As you were saying that, and it's not exactly the same, but I've had people that have suggested I turned gray very early in life. And I've had people, one of which was a beautician, that was suggesting that I should dye my hair. And it was like, no, I'm proud of it. I mean, you know, I don't feel the need to. I am proud of it. I think that, you know, the fact that I have, that means I've weathered a few storms, so I'm not worried about it.
Right. And it's funny, I talk about women, but actually there's been several men I've talked to on podcasts that said, your message resonates with men as well. And I agree. You know, men have the same insecurities as women. They're just, they're taught to be a man and toughen up and not have emotions. And they have the same insecurities and fears as women too. So keep that gray hair. Men look distinguished with gray hair. Keep it.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. Actually, a little later on, I was going to make a comment about that, but you brought it up now is that I got that same feeling from the book. Is that I didn't feel like, well, this is only being spoken to women. You know, I just started getting into the concept to where I wasn't even really thinking as much about fashion as just, you know, just self-esteem and looking at making decisions that work best for you. You know, and so, yes, so I'm glad you brought it up because for anybody out there, yes, I felt that, you know, as men a man, that it was speaking to all of us.
Well, we're all human beings, you know, we're all humans and, you know, we all have our stuff. So it does. And actually a lot of my friends said, oh, I thought it was going to be all about fashion and I'm not that interested. And they said, I'm so surprised that it was something else. And I do say that a lot. We're more than a clothing store, you know, selling clothes to me, just like a button is a connector. The clothes are the connector, but that's really not what's going on. You know, we're more than selling clothes. We're doing just that, building up self-esteem and teaching women all about that. Who knows? Maybe someday I won't even be selling clothing, but that was the connector that got me all started.
Well, in fact, it's also, it's like any really good movie. if it doesn't have a really good backstory, you know, I don't think that it grasps you. And with the book, I felt that it grasped me because I'm getting multiple stories here and I'm feeling more connected to it. So, you know, like a good movie, it's a great way to tell a story.
Oh, thank you. Well, I think in my life, when I opened the store, people only knew me as, you know, the boutique owner, and they didn't know the real Jill and what I've been through. And I think that happens in life a lot. People meet you in one forum or one way, and they don't know exactly what you're saying, your backstory. And I've had more than a few people say, I respected you before, but now I know what you've been through and I respect you even more. And I think you're right. Knowing someone's backstory, just like I say, when you share those stories, not only do you know you're not alone, but it also gives you compassion for other people so that you can say, me too. And I really know what you've been through because I've been through the same thing. And also when I shared my stories, I was surprised. These women that I've known for 15, 20 years, who just come in and happy and friendly. And then we shared and they're like my brother, my sister, my son, my niece, my nephew. And you're like, wow, I had no idea what you've been through. And you are even more amazing than I thought you were. Yeah.
That's very nice. You know, I know we keep touching on the fashion industry. I'm sure there are some people that will be picking up the book because they're also very interested in the fashion industry. So why don't you share a few kind of behind the scenes stories or a little behind the scenes look at the fashion industry that somebody out there might not know?
Good question. Well, I will say throughout the book are the little fashion boxes. And what's funny about that, that comes very naturally to me. So I think everyone knows what I know, but they don't. And I love that because that's why they need me. So when they say, I don't know anything about fashion, I'm like, awesome. I get to do my job. So, you know, I try to add value. If somebody's watching your podcast, you want to add value. Well, I do Facebook Lives every week. And I'm, again, not selling clothing, teaching. So I teach them about princess seams, how that, you know, helps shape the body, a gusset that gives them a little more room, you know, high, low. So that works for a shorter woman who can't wear a longer dress. So, you know, it's a full education of how drape and fit and, you know, how to put on a pair of jeans. Oh my goodness, jeans. And we don't do bathing suits, thank God. but, you know, to fit a pair of jeans is, you know, an art, you know, to make that woman feel good. And these are investment pieces. And we talk about that, investing in yourself and investing in your wardrobe. So yeah, all of that.
All right. So, let's talk a little bit about, we've talked a little bit about how it makes them feel. Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about the message that it sends. Because you talk about in the book that the wardrobe that you choose or the way in which you wear these clothes sends a message. It's a way in which you're communicating to the world. Share a little bit about what that means and how you've been able to shape people's communication to make them really benefit to the very best that they can.
Well, I would love to say that, you know, first impressions, they're going to appreciate your personality and your talents and all of that. And fortunately, you know, how you present mm-hmm. yourself is important. You know, they say dress for the job that you want. But I think first impressions, you're put together, you make a first impression with your clothing, and it's not everything, you know, they'll get to your talent, they'll get to that, but it's one more tool in your tool bag. So that's what I think it is. It's just one more way for you to present yourself, put yourself together and feel confident.
All right. Well, we have a listener question that's coming in. Okay. And again, I want to take the time to thank those people. You know, some send them in the night before because they're working in the middle of the day and they've just read our, mailer that we send out, our email that we send out telling people who's going to be on the show. So they'll send in a question that they want the answer to. Some will do it during the show. But again, thank you for taking the time to do that. Now, this one reads, I've been impressed with the casual and functional fashions I am seeing our kids are wearing these days. after being locked down during the pandemic, I believe they are so excited about getting back to their lives, mm-hmm. their sports, and normal activities. Can you tell us your thoughts on fashion and our children, especially the teenage groups? Mm-hmm. And this is from Kim in Arizona.
That is a really, really good question. Kim, thank you for asking me that. I agree. I think with social media and all that's going on, our young people are constantly being judged, or they're comparing themselves to these unrealistic pictures and things they see in social media. And I find they're getting younger and younger and younger. And the other day, I was in a store and I saw this mother, instead of saying, well, that doesn't fit, and making the child, you know, the teenager feel bad, she said, well, you know, how does it make you feel? Do you feel confident? Do you feel good about yourself? And I was like, yay, mom, you're, you know, good for you, mom, that you're mm-hmm. not, you know, criticizing your child or saying, you know, making that teenager feel bad. And I, you know, I'm seeing this next generation come up. I think they are much more, my daughter's 25, and they're much more aware of, you know, sustainability and caring about the earth and not worrying about that, because they grew up with social media. So they know, you know, the tricks of it, and that it really doesn't affect them as much. My daughter gets what social media is and knows that it's, you know, it's a curated story that people put out there, and we know it's mm-hmm. not real anymore. But I think when it was first came out, we thought it was all real, but we know it's not. Yeah. So I see my daughter not worrying about that, going climbing a mountain. She, you know, she's taking me to Zion and Joshua Tree, and she's interested in the earth and not, you know, the exterior things anymore.
God, that's great. Yeah, I would agree that I think, you know, I'm seeing a lot of younger people that are much more focused on, well, more towards comfort and not, you know, this is what I have to present, you know. Or, well, the other thing I'm liking is I'm noticing a lot less of the everybody has to copy whatever the last one did. Mm-hmm. So I like seeing a little more of an individual look, where they're more comfortable in something that's that they're wearing. Now, one of the things I love on the show is stories, and you talk a little bit in the book about how fashion has, you know, has really transformed some people. So share with us one of your favorite stories as far as how that power of fashion transformed somebody in such a way that somebody else out there may go, that's me. That's me.
Huh. Okay, well, if I were to give you a story, I would say the personification of the power of fashion would be our fashion show. And what we do it twice a year, and we use customer models. So we have ages, you know, 14 to 80 out there, you know, size 4 to 16, strutting their stuff. And they kind of come in and are a little nervous about, you know, what I'm going to put them in. And, you know, of course, we work with their body shape. And it's amazing when you see that transformation coming out of the fitting room, feeling good, and then strutting down that runway. And I would say the most powerful thing is seeing all those different shapes and ages up on that runway, just, and everyone clapping and screaming and loving them. And, you know, what a great feeling that is. And that is the power of clothing, is that you can feel amazing about yourself. And, you know, they're not model thin. They, you know, they are just real people. And we say, you know, real models, real life, you know, so it is transformational.
I love it. And when you bring that to the West Coast, let me know. I'd like to enter my mom.
Oh, there you go. That would be awesome. Well, my daughter does live in LA, so yeah.
There you go. So it might be time to start planning on that one. Mm-hmm. Share with us a little bit more. I started out talking a little bit about your story, but then I think I kind of steered you away from that. Mm-hmm. Can we come back to that and a little bit more of your story so that people get more of a feel for some of the things that you went through to get to where you are today?
I would say my story is really a story about tenacity and resilience. So as you read the book, it is my journey in fashion. So I started the industry in a funny, funny way. And I appreciate my generation in the way that I was allowed to try things and fail. And I wasn't on a track. So I was bartending at night and I was kind of bored during the day. And so I said, I love fashion. I'm going to go into this boutique and see if they need anyone. And she said, I don't need anyone, but my son's a manufacturer. They need someone to answer the phone. And I was like, I can answer the phone like nobody's business. And that started the fashion career. And that was the foundation. And I still use many things they taught me today. And the thing that I equate in the book that to me parallels life is that dye bath. So I learned all about garment dyeing in that foundational job. And what it is you dip fabric into scalding hot water and then you beat it with paddles. And then when it comes out, it's more textural, more beautiful than it was going in. And I equate that to life with women. You know, you go through life's dye bath and you come out and you're more beautiful and more textured and, you know, better than you were before. So that was a great job for me. And then moving on to sales repping, which I was driving a mobile showroom that was 24 feet long all around the country. And again, meeting all these empowered women that own these boutiques. And I wanted to be one. I was like, I want to be one of these amazing women. So I opened my own boutique. And then, you know, it's been 20 years of, you know, hard times, good times, bad times, two recessions, you know, 9/11, COVID, all of the stuff we all go through. But in the end, you know, bringing joy to people and serving my community has been the reward, not money.
When you were mentioning about the colors, it reminded me of something. I was very fortunate as a teenager to be around an artist who talked about one's colors. And so I would be over at the kitchen table doing homework or something like that. But this class was being given in the other room by an incredible artist, an incredible human being that was talking about, you know, you're a winter, you're a summer, and these are the colors why, and holding them up and showing why and saying, well, these tones in your hair and these tones in your skin and all of these things. And I sort of picked it up a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I recall one time many years later as an adult, and I was at a conference, and I'm standing in line in the buffet line getting food. And I turned to this woman behind me and I said, you know, I just want to tell you that you're obviously a winter, and that deep red that you have in your coat looks so perfect with your dark hair and everything else. And I just started talking. And anyway, and so I was going like this. And then, so the woman on the other side of me taps me and goes, well, what about me? And I said, well, I go, you're probably a little more of a spring, but because you're wearing sort of this kind of a pastel kind of color, it actually really works for you or something. And then I realized it was like an E.F. Hutton moment to where all of a sudden the line stopped. And all the women, they're all looking at me like, how do you know this? So share a little bit about that, because I found it very interesting. And I realized that a lot of women found it interesting. But as a man, nobody ever taught us that.
Well, it is art and fashion 101, what you're talking about. So there's a color wheel, and it really consists of a warm side and a cool side. So, and then every color is derived from just those three colors, a yellow, a green, a blue. So same, I can look at a person, not even what they're wearing. If you look at their wrist, you can see whether they have a warm or a cool undertone. So what's great about that is I say, oh, you're cool tone. So when I pull things for them, I pull the right shade. And a lot of people will pull what they think fits them or what they think looks good on them. And I never want to make a woman feel bad. So I say, okay, we'll try that on, but let me give you some more choices. And then I always, pull what I know is going to look good. And color is really important. And again, I don't want them only shopping in my store. I want to educate them so they can shop anywhere. But you are absolutely right. And the fact that a man knows that, that's wonderful. I'm sure that could be a pickup line. There you go. The women would love that. But yeah, it's all about being warm and cool tones. So they can wear any color they want as long as it's warm or cool. It actually helps you pick hair colors, like your stylist. You know, I'll say, you know, I want this color and it's warm tone. And she's like, how do you know that? I'm like, it's the color wheel. So, yeah.
All right. We are speaking with Jill Strickland Brown and we are having a ball. Her book is called Behind the Button, Journey in Life and Fashion and How They Are Interwoven. So we're going to take a break, but stay with us. And when we come back, we may come up with some little tips of things you can do. So be with us. We'll be right back.
Founded over 30 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, Westshield has continually focused on resolving issues that negatively impact families and businesses. Our signature therapeutic transportation service helps to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely transported to specialized schools, programs, and treatment centers with unsurpassed experience and success. We are supported by our full-service licensed investigation agency that has legally, professionally, and compassionately located hundreds of runaways and teens. We are experienced and qualified to help, offering solutions which may include referrals to our international network of top professionals in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, psychiatry, and investigations. Simply put, Westshield Adolescent Services and Westshield Investigations are the best solutions when your family is facing a personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's 1-800-899-8585, or visit our website at westshield.com. Thank you.
And we're back with Jill Strickland Brown, and we're talking about her book, Behind the Button, Journey in the Life and Fashion of and How They Are Woven. And it isn't just about fashion. We are talking about how these ideas and stuff, how they translate to our life. So one of the things that we were just talking about has to do with colors. So, Jill, what would be some tips that you could have for someone who doesn't have a color wheel, or someone who maybe people have pointed out to them that, you know, they'll go, yeah, you know, brown just doesn't really look good on you, you know, or something. And what are some things that they can do to help figure out what works best for them?
I think the same thing I do, you know, put on a shirt. Does that shirt or wrap or whatever you're putting on, bring out your eyes, bring out your skin tone. And you can kind of tell also by the colors you gravitate towards. I tend to gravitate towards browns and greens and orange and yellow. But if you gravitate towards reds and whites and royal blues, as you know, a winter, you're probably that season. You intrinsically go to the colors that look good on you. And you can kind of verify that by putting something on. And do you look sallow, or does it bring out your eyes? Does it bring out your skin tone, your cheeks? And that's really all we're doing too, is draping things and saying yes or no. So, but you are intrinsically drawn to the colors that look good on you.
Yeah, I get it. We have another question that has come in, and this one reads, I think it's more of a statement maybe, but anyway, it says, I really resonate with your story. I was very fortunate to work as an assistant manager at Martha's Boutique in New York during my late 20s. Later, I served as a personal stylist, helping men and women discover their own individual styles. It was so rewarding to see these transitions, although I left that career and really enjoy raising my family. I do miss being a part of the fashion industry. I really look forward to your interview and reading the book, which I've already ordered and is on its way. That's from Lisa in Florida.
Well, first of all, Lisa, thank you for getting my book. I'm so grateful for every person that goes on Amazon, and it still blows me away that my book is on, you know, in Amazon. But Lisa, what I say to my women is, you know, first of all, good for you. Good for you that you took a block of your life to raise your children, because that's so important. And looking back now that my son is 21 and my daughter is 25, you know, when I was raising my children, you think you're indispensable in your job. And what you realize, or what I realize now, is that's just a block of time in the whole, your whole lifespan. And I think learning from these women that have been through it, they're a little older, retired, they always say, you know, you can have it all, just not at the same time. So Lisa, you can absolutely get back into the industry, and I'm sure someone would appreciate your, you know, your ability and your talent, and, you know, helping not only the 18 to 20 or 25 year olds that the department stores go after, but helping these mature women who are not being addressed in the industry. So I would encourage you, Lisa, to get back in it when those kiddos, when you're an empty nester.
Absolutely. And not only that, but when you come out and do your fashion show on the West Coast, I think it said she's in Arizona. That's not nice. Far. She can come join that and either be in it or help you set it up.
Yeah. Well, I was doing a podcast last week or so, and one of the hosts invited me to be in a retreat in Nevada and do a breakout session. So, you know, we can let people know about that. That's exciting. Yes. So.
Is the date already set?
No, she's in the process, just like you, you know, and it sparked an idea speaking to me. She said, wow, I'm putting this together. So that's been an amazing part of my story too. And I think that's going to be book two. You know, this is, you know, kind of my history, like you said, a backstory. And now book two is really going to be, it's going to be called Further Behind the Button. And everyone keeps asking, when's it going to be? When's it going to be? And I said, well, I have to live a little more and have more experiences so I can do book two. So I really think book two is going to be, you know, being on these podcasts, going around, talking about my message, and then helping other people with the tools to, you know, get their story and their message together, because, you know, everyone has a voice and everyone has something that they can share and contribute. And I think that's why we're on the earth. We're put here for a reason. And I think it's really important to be able to, your voice being heard.
Absolutely. Now, we've mentioned a little bit in regards to style. One of my thoughts was, it's because we know that, I mean, style varies so much, and it varies from one geographical area. It varies for different ages. There's so many different things, and obviously people's own living situation and stuff. Can you give us some kind of general style tips that you feel would apply to many people?
I agree. So what we say is, or I encourage my women is, we are not, don't buy trendy, buy, we're on trend, but not trendy. So, you know, we teach about investment pieces, things you'll have forever. Get a good pair of jeans, get a good pair of trousers, get a good blazer, a button-up white shirt. Get those investment pieces that you'll pull year after year. And then when you do something trendy or something that's on trend, don't spend a lot of money on that, because you know at the end of the season, you're probably not going to use it, or it's going to go out of style. And I've been in business for 20 years. And, you know, women always say to me, I have a top from 15 years ago and I still wear it. Or my favorite pieces in my wardrobe are from your store. But the fact is that you wear 20% of your clothes 80% of the time. So make sure that 20% is good quality, something that's going to last. And then, because that's all you're going to wear it 80% of the time.
That's funny that you say that. As I mentioned, I think off the air, you know, that I was moving, and one of my sons is helping me with that. And so as we go through stuff, and he's like, Dad, really? You really think that you're ever going to wear this again? He goes, Dad, I think this is older than me. You know?
It's so true. I just did a great clean out where I do this practice, and actually your listeners would appreciate that as well. What I do is I bin up a season. So when the season's over, I bin it up. Whatever I haven't worn, I don't throw away, I donate, because there's a lot of women that need it. I work with it's called the Woman's Place, and it's people going that are homeless or abused, and they're needing to go to the workplace. So I make sure I work with a local charity and donate. And then as I'm putting up the new, I'm like, I haven't worn that in forever, and I get rid of it. And actually, I'll tell you a really funny story. So when designer jeans first came out, I spent a lot of money on them. And I'm like, I am not going to throw these away because I spent so much money on them. So I folded them up, put them in my closet. I tripped over them for 10 years. And finally, they came back. I put them on, and I don't know what I was thinking, but those things, I couldn't get them up one leg. And I'm like, well, that's what I get for tripping over those for 10 years. So in my imagination, I was still that size, but I am not. So there you have it. Don't hold on to your stuff, Alan. It won't fit you.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that I passed on to my kids, which I think is great, because essentially what my son was doing was telling me to follow the same rules that I taught them when they were little. Because what we used to do a trip, and this is something that actually my father had started, but every Easter, we would go down to Mexico for Easter break. So we would be down there for about 9 or 10 days. And so what we started doing was, I tell him, if there's anything here that you didn't wear or didn't play with for the last year, we need to box it up. And so the first year, we took stuff down. And then some of the neighbors started to learn what we were doing. And I ended up having a trailer. We had motorcycles and stuff. But we would fill the trailer full of bags because the neighbors started bringing it to our house right before Easter, knowing that we were going down to the mission. So we would stop at the mission in Mexico before we went to the coast. But one of the things that I think was so rewarding is that when we would go down the next year and my kids would be out there playing, and they would look and they would see some of the local kids and they'd go, oh, that was mine.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, that was mine.
That's amazing.
And I could see that they felt so good, you know,
giving.
About
better than giving than receiving, for sure.
That they were smiling and playing and really enjoying something that they had just stuffed in a closet for a year.
Well, if you ever hear Tony Robbins' story, he talks about the Thanksgiving that, because he did not come from wealth, and the Thanksgiving that someone came and knocked on his door and gave them, you know, Thanksgiving dinner. And he felt that he just, someone saw him. And so the goal of his is every year he gives a million meals away, and how he started that. And so his story is amazing. You never know the impact you're going to make on someone, you know, just by doing something simple that you did for those kids. You know, you never know. It's just one thing. And you don't have to be big like Tony Robbins. You can do something local in your community. You can help people and just make yourself aware that, you know, you're very lucky. You're very lucky. And there are people that need your help, you know.
Absolutely.
I'll share a story. And this just happened on Saturday. There was a woman, and she was an older woman, and she had some struggles with her body and, you know, arms and legs that were, I don't know if she was sick or something, but, you know, she was very almost skeleton-like. So I was trying to help her, you know, put some things together, and she was kind of complaining about her body and, you know, a lot of complaining. And I said to her, I said, you know what? You are so lucky. You're standing on this earth today. And I said, you know what? You go to your faucet and water comes out. You don't have to put a pot on your head and walk 5 miles. You have a roof over your head. You have a meal. You have a warm belly with food in your belly. And aren't you lucky? Aren't you lucky that you have the money to buy an outfit today? And she just looked in the mirror and she said, well said. And then she walked back in the fitting room. And, you know, because sometimes we get caught in our own little world and, you know, think that, you know, our problems are so big. And when you compare yourself to people struggling or people dealing with this, and I always say, we're better off than 3/4 of the world. So aren't you lucky? And every time I get in that mindset, I say, aren't you lucky? You know, I get my car and there's traffic. Well, aren't you lucky you have a car? Aren't you lucky you have air conditioning? Aren't you lucky you have gas? Aren't you lucky that you're going to your friend's house with a pie and you have a pie? Aren't we lucky? And that's, you know, gratefulness is so important.
Absolutely. And yeah, and when you mentioned Tony Robbins, and yes, I've also followed a lot of what he's done, and mentioned Thanksgiving is, and that's one of the things that we've done now for years is we sit around the table, and before we eat, we go around the table, and we've started since the kids were much smaller. They're now grown and gone, but and that would be the thing is we would go through and everybody would talk about something that they were most grateful for or that they were thankful for. And I think that if we can continue to focus on that, and especially starting when they're young, you know, make that a habit, make that part of the everyday routine. You know, it changes everything.
And I do that every day. And I've heard that from, Mel Robbins and many inspirational speakers that I've, you know, actually got to meet. I'm so lucky. I get up every day. I put my feet on the ground and I say, I'm so grateful to be able to start another day. I'm so grateful. And then I end my day with a grateful journal and I write down all the things that I'm grateful for. And what's interesting is if you do that, you have to find things that you're grateful for. So throughout the day, you're trying to find things that you're grateful because you know you have to write in that book at the end of the day. So, you know, if you start your morning in gratefulness, you know, that'll take you through the day. So I think that's a really important practice to do daily.
Yeah, and not doing this as a chance to make a plug, but we are on this subject. If you go to our website, go to answers.network. Okay, I have on there a journal that I wrote, and one of my sons helped me write it. But it's called the Attitude of Gratitude Journal, and it's a 21 day. It's a fill in the blank. So. You know, it's a great way.
That.
Yeah, but yeah, and it's a great. It's free. Just we tell people just go to the website, download it. We're not selling it, but it's something that we've used with some of the at-risk youth that we've worked with, where we would sit with them, talk to them, and then, you know, fill in the blank for them. You know, and just ask the question and fill in the blank, and then give it to them so that they have something that they can read afterwards if they've been going through some difficult times. This was a great way for them to do that. And so anyway, I decided, well, let's just put it on the site and let people get it. But, you know, especially with your children, you know, is that if you can get them focused on this.
Sorry, that makes me tear up. That's amazing.
Yeah. So
that you can do that for people.
Yeah.
And it's really important.
Know, bringing all of these things together. But I think one of the things that I want everybody to understand is that these are the feelings that I got from Jill's book. I didn't just feel like, hey, clothing, you know, it was the feeling of gratitude. It was the feeling of you know, empowerment, you know, that, you know, this is sharing with people ways that you can empower yourself. But anyway, so yes, I think it all sort of ties together.
It does. And that's, I'm going to download that for sure and use that with my people. So that's amazing.
That's good. Thank you. Thank you for that. So, and we've got about 4 minutes, but I just want to, you know, what is your number one inspiring message that leaves women feeling empowered?
I would say, you know, it's an old adage, believe in yourself because you have it all inside you. I'm sorry, talking so long. Yeah, believe in yourself because you have all the tools that you need.
Well, so can we give a couple more examples? That again, you've got 20 years of having people come into your shop and you're projecting that message to them. Let's talk about the ones that come back 6 months later, 6 years later, and come back in and go, wow, remember when you told me this?
I do.
Well, here's how it affected me.
I've heard that. I've heard people say, you changed my life. Or I've had some people that I had no idea that I'm so sorry. I should have grabbed a drink. I've had people come back and say, you don't realize what you did, or you didn't realize what you said. Like, I have a friend, she's a friend now, that it was during the housing crisis, and she had been unemployed, and she had to go to an interview, and she didn't have a dress, and I knew she didn't have any money. And I said, just pick something off the rack, just pick something off the rack. And I, you know, I have it, I'll give it. So she said, you don't even realize what that did to me. And I had a woman that her husband was in Iraq, and he was deployed during Christmas time. And I said, you know what? Just get anything you want for your children. Just pick it out, whatever you want. Just grab it. Because, you know, I have a store full of things. You know, I certainly can share that with someone. And actually, I did the aren't you lucky thing. I had a friend going through a divorce, and she was having to pay support. And she was mad about that. And she said, I don't know if you remember what you said. I said, no, I have no idea. And she was frustrated with that. And I said, well, aren't you lucky that you're the one giving the money and not having to ask for it? And she said, I literally signed the papers that day. So you don't, like you said before, you don't know how what you say impacts people. And I think, you know, when you come, like you said, from generosity and compassion, and, you know, knowing that you live in abundance, that, you know, money, you can earn it again. You know, the universe is full, you know, and there's enough for everybody. So just give freely, and don't live in lack.
All right. Yeah. Well, Jill, thank you so much for coming on. Thank you for writing the book. And when it comes time for the next book, please let us know ahead of time. Give us some lead time. Would love to have you back. Or even as it comes up for this, you mentioned a retreat or something like that.
I have no idea when it's happening.
What I'm saying is once you know, if you, give us a call. And even if it's shorter notice, you can come on. I'd love to have you as my guest co-host so that we can talk a little bit about that too. Again, what if somebody wants to get a hold of you? Now, we've mentioned the book, and as you said, you can get it at Amazon or most anywhere books are sold. But if they want to get a hold of you, what's the best way for them to do that?
I would say to enter my world would be Behind the Button by Jill. And we have a special for your podcast listeners. If they go in under the media page where we'll post this interview, they will get a 30-minute consultation free with me. And I'll help them do some virtual styling, because, you know, not everyone can come in my store. So this way we can help people all over. So, yes, we'll have the link. And they can get right on there and get that free consultation.
Okay. So the best
is Behind the Button by Jill.
Okay. So Behind the Button by Jill.
Yep. Because I don't own Behind the Button. There's a company in like Australia that owns that. So it has to be by Jill. So it's the name of my book and by Jill. Yes.
Okay. Okay, Behind the Button by Jill.
Yep.
Jill, thank you so much. And I look forward to speaking again soon.
Oh, I'm so grateful to be here and share my message with your listeners. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. Now, for everybody out there, let's see. If you can be with us next week, we're going to be joined by Eric Qualman. This is the author of The Focus Project, The Not-So-Simple Art of Doing Less. So I'm all for that. I'm at that stage in life. So, and for everybody out there, please visit our archives of past interviews at answers.network. or just subscribe to the show through Apple Podcast, iHeartRadio, Spotify, SoundCloud, YouTube, Spreaker, and so many more. And again, if you have a favorite platform that you listen to, if they don't have us on there, please let them know you want Answers Network on there. And if you like what you hear, please leave a review. It'll help us reach more people, and I want you to know it's greatly appreciated. So for everybody out there, be good human beings and be with us again next week on Answers Network.
Here, apply this to anywhere it hurts. It'll reduce your physical pain.
Thank you, Sensei. What about the emotional pain?
We'll learn to block a slap.
You don't spar with the Sensei.
Marty's Cobra Cove has no mercy on me.
Don't rub it off. Rub it in.
You're listening to Answers Network with Alan Cardoza, only on LA Talk Radio.